Welcome back to That You May Grow, the podcast done here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. My name is Jared Hammond. I'm one of the preachers here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, and I'm here with my fellow preacher and brother in Christ, Preston McAuley.
Good to be here as always.
Love these opportunities to come together, and especially this season, we've been bringing in guests to do these recordings with us. And today we have one of our elders here with us, Chris McAuley.
Good afternoon.
And we also have Bill Money. He is a member at the Blodgett Congregation at the Blodgett Church of Christ.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And Bill is actually taking all the classes out at the Lamb's Academy. He is a full-time student and enjoying each and every class and putting in a lot of time and effort into his studies. So we're grateful for him. And really, this episode, we're wanting to discuss the Lamb's Academy.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Lamb's Academy has been really awesome and teaching things of the Bible that I did not know. You know, I was raised in the church, but it wasn't Christ Church. So I've had to refocus and reconstruct my mind into learning the true gospel and preaching true gospel than preaching what somebody says is gospel. You know, and it's the Lamb's Academy has really opened up doors. It's opened up my mind. It's opened up a lot of things in my life and you know, things that I didn't understand in the Bible. Certain scriptures are really hard to understand. Well, the school has really really helped me in understanding these things and understanding the true biblical knowledge of what the scriptures say. So it's been really awesome. One day to the next, I get excited about coming to school. What am I going to learn next? You know, what are we going to study? And I'll read the scriptures and I'll see things that I don't understand. And I'll ask those questions. And man, it just brings everything to light. And it's just really awesome.
Bill is such a joy. Being able to get to know him through the academy, again, to see his zeal and excitement and that just daily growth. It's an incredible thing to be a part of. The academy, for those that are not aware of it, the academy actually opened in September of 23. And so we're now in our third quarter of operating. We began, our first quarter was actually held here at the church building in Mount Vernon. And in January of this year, with our building completed, our permanent building, we moved to Highway 37 next door to the Home of Recovery and Restoration in Winnsboro. And so we are now in our second quarter there at the building. Now, the building, due and thanks to the blessing of the Lord and from brethren and congregations that saw a need for this work, we were able to move into that building with the building paid for, completely constructed and paid for.
And well, so it's a nice building as well. It's a nice dedicated space that's conducive to the learning environment and it's, I mean, that makes a difference. Jared and I both haven't been to Brown Trail. There's a different area of the building that's set aside specifically for the school. And, of course, it's an older facility there. But, you know, here with the academy, we're blessed to have such a nice facility that's brand new that, like you mentioned, is completely paid for there and all of the construction and everything. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful blessing.
It sure has. It's been a wonderful blessing. Nice building. We come in there, great instructors who are very knowledgeable. And it just makes it really exciting. And, you know, and having not only me being able to go to the Lamb's Academy, but the support that I get from Blodgett, my home church, is, man, I get emotional, man. It's second to none. It's just, you know, everybody's asking questions about when I go to school and grades and they're all excited about, you know, me being able to, and I get such support from them, from Larry Black, our preacher there, and, you know, he's kind of took me under his wing, and it's, you know, and then being able to preach God's word and preach true gospel, it's just, man, the blessings and the humbleness and the encouragement that I get from everybody, it's just really awesome. It's hard to put it into words. Mm-hmm. Just being blessed by the Lord.
The Academy came about a couple of years ago. The concept of it, it was actually the melding of two ideas. One of our brethren here at Mount Vernon, Brother Jim Hampton, approached the elders with the thought of a school of preaching here in East Texas. And the elders here, for some time, had been kind of kept on the back burner due to other things, but the idea of a mentoring program. And so as we got to thinking about all this, it kind of began to meld together, and in the end, it all morphed into something totally different. You know, we as we really thought about things, you know, we come to the realization that our schools of preaching and the Brotherhood are doing a great job, and that to replicate that in that same form would be somewhat redundant. So what we began to look at was the idea of something in between. You know, the schools, it is so intense, and it requires so much. You're not able to work. You have to leave your family. And that's something not everyone can do, and to go off for 2 years and do that. I know both of you can attest to the fact how difficult that is and how hard. And also, you quickly understand, not everyone's able to do that. And so we also realize that our pews are full of people, though, that are serious Bible students, that they want more, they want to grow. And when we started thinking about the needs in the church, such as, you know, congregations are dying for qualified elders. They're dying for men to serve as deacons. There are those who are not able to serve perhaps because their wife does not meet the qualifications. And so Bible class teachers, I have yet to visit a congregation that would tell me, we've got so many teachers, we don't know what to do with them. That's just not the case.
No, it's not.
So we began to think along the ideal as if we were to consider our preaching schools, the Brown Trails, the Southwest, the Memphis, the Texas School, all of these, kind of thinking of them like a university. And if we kind of were to equate our Bible classes, you know, our adult Bible classes to a, like high school, we begin to think of something in between. So what the Academy, what we're trying to do is more as the typical preaching school will have, I think some of you had 72 courses. We're offering 40. We only offer 5 classes a week, about half what the typical preaching school will do. So we do not want it to be at the intensity level because those people still have to have jobs and such. But we look for qualified faculty and men that are well trained to teach these classes. And we cover every book of the Bible plus a number of specialty classes. But so we'll have 40 classes, and in the end, we want men that are able to go out and preach the gospel. But not only that, you know, we look for individuals to take these classes to prepare themselves to serve as elders, as deacons, their wives, Bible class teachers. And just growth, you know, we try to think about some of our older members that, just have more time on their hands than they've ever had in their life, rather than sitting around and growing discouraged or depressed, you know, take a class. Young people, you know, they may not desire to go off to a full-time school for 2 years, but they can take classes along and be a part, and that's why we have full-time opportunity, but we also offer part-time. A student may just take, say, two of the five classes that quarter or even one. And then also, some people are just like, they want to grow, they want something extra, but they're scared of doing it for a grade or for some reason or don't want to do that. And so we do offer the chance to audit the classes. And, you know, that is working well. At this time, we have four students taking all of the classes for credit. We have about a 10 to 12 that are taking part-time for credit. And then we've got 30 or so that are auditing. We're offering online also in addition to the in-person classes where people that are not able to be there at that particular time or because of distance, you know, they can be in the classes. They're also recorded. Or if you can't, if you're not able to participate in person or in Zoom, you can watch it later in the week and see the recording. And it gives opportunity for everyone. There's no excuse not to if you want to participate. We've had students in six states, so you don't have to be in a 20-mile circle of Franklin County or Wood County to be able to participate. So,
well, like you mentioned in there, just all of the opportunity and all of the potential through it. You know, you mentioned that there's the thought of for it to help train men to someday be elders, or for those who are elders right now to continue to learn and continue to grow. And same for preachers, for deacons, for the Bible class teachers. But none of that takes away from the actual content that's going on in the classes. I know, Bill, you mentioned, and Dad, you did just very briefly as well, about having the specific faculty and the qualified faculty that's there. You know, Bill, could you speak maybe to some of the teachers you've already had, just as far as, you know, maybe that ability to help everybody learn, to help encourage growth just to really encourage you and motivate you to study a little bit harder.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, I before I submitted to full-time ministry, you know, I'd watch Give Me the Bible, and I'd watch Chris Groda and Brother Manuel and a few of them other guys, Westbrook, and I can't remember all their names. And I thought, man, you know, and it's just listening to them, and then I've met Chris. He brought up the Lamb's Academy, you know, and I was like excited about being able to go to school. And so when I came to school, you know, I had this first instructor. I had like Preston teaching me English in the English class. Man, there's so many things about the English language that I didn't know back when I took English back in school. And I'm 61 years old, so I hadn't been to school in a long time. But I learned a lot of things that I didn't know before. But not only did I not learn those English terms and different phases of English language, but I learned how to apply them to the Word of God, you know, and how important it is to know about your nouns and pronouns and your adjectives, even the gerunds, which I never even heard of before until I had this class.
Oh, Jared's sitting right there.
Yeah. Hey, just a second that when I went through Brown Trail and he brought up gerunds, I had no clue. I'd never heard of that in my life.
Never heard of it in my life.
Matter of fact, when somebody said gerund, Kenny Gardner, our English teacher, he turned the same as Preston just did. He said, he's right there.
Right. And then my instructor was like Kevin Colley teaching the book of Isaiah, and that's a hard book to understand. And then when I go to class, you know, he brings these things to light that, you know, about certain phrases and about the figures of speech and of certain things that are said. And I'm like, well, why is he saying this? You know, and then he brings it to light. I can't remember the one we was talking about. Oh, on the Holy Mountain. you know, and I was just thinking, oh, that's a holy mountain. I was thinking Mount Sinai or something like that. But no, the holy mountain was talking about the kingdom, you know, and I really didn't understand that. So just that's a small part of something that I've been learning. And then you got Chris Groda. I love dearly. He's an awesome dude, an awesome guy. And the book of Acts, and there's so much to the book of Acts and Paul's journeys and what he did to establish Christ's church and all these cities that he traveled to on his journeys. And even writing the letters to Philippi or and he did them from jail and these other letters that he did from jail, you know, and you hear the wording of Paul. That's one, you know, you was asking about the favorite person in the Bible. I guess you could say it's Paul. Because of what he'd been through, and he'd been in jail and well, still praising the Lord, yeah, being in jail. You know,
and you'll be able to give a little more detail on that here, yeah, after a while.
Yeah, okay. But, so, yeah, I don't want to go with that. But you got Chris Groda and Robert Johnson that teaches Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And he's an older gentleman, and he has so much love and passion in the way he speaks and all the information that he gives us and the maps and everything about Joshua. You know,
so you got a good variety.
Yeah,
man.
I got a good variety, and it's just awesome. And all these instructors have been helping so much, and that's just a couple of the instructors. And we got Jared here teaching the book of Philippians. You know, I got a favorite book, but studying the book of Philippians is coming in a close second there. Because, you know,
is that going to boost his grade any?
No.
Well, I can't show favoritism like that. That might be right. Wrong of me.
Yeah. You know, I put in the work and do the hardest thing that I see right now. My hardest thing is memory verses, you know, but I've been coming through, you know, been working on them and working on them and working on them. And it's hard for me for my memory to memorize these things. But, you know, I pray about it. When I get frustrated, oh, man, I can't remember that verse. And I'll pray about it, and the Lord will bring it to me. You know, and I'll pray, and he'll give me some a format to use to learn these verses. Like if I could remember the first word of each verse or the first two words of each verse, it gets me started. And, man, I can quote that verse, you know, so. You know, it's been real helpful.
One of the things that you said, even about the questions that would be asked later, just made me realize I completely dropped the ball on our shoe side. We've done that the whole season.
We've been going barefoot.
This is the last episode, and then I completely forget to ask shoe size. That's terrible. By the way, we've already gone about a half a mile, so we'll only get to walk another half mile. What size shoe do y'all wear?
12.
12?
11 and a half.
Well, you know how it's been said, you can't get to know a person until you've walked a mile in their shoes. We've already walked a half a mile, so we're going to get to know y'all partially, I guess.
And now that our feet are hurting from being barefoot,
I know it,
all
walking
this time.
All over these rocks, man alive. That's what happens when you leave me in control over here in the lead seat. But now we know, and we can continue forward. You know, one of the things that was really interesting about the Lambs Academy that I noticed right off, and I've even had conversations with Chris about this, and Chris has mentioned it numerous times. You know, typically when something like this starts, sometimes there's this period of time where you're trying to get it out to people, and it may take it a while to be received. But with this, I think you had twice as the number that you were hoping for, even in the very first quarter, didn't you?
More than that. Yeah. You know, I believe our first quarter we had, it was 30-something, we were hoping for 5.
Right.
And we're in the last two quarters, we've been between 40 and 50. But the number of classes taken, because remember, not everybody's full-time, but the number of classes being taken has increased every quarter. And I didn't know if we were going to do that this quarter, but by the time all the enrollment was cut off, oh, you know, we actually have increased again in this quarter, and I look for it to hopefully, you know, continue along that way, especially with the opportunities presented by technology,
mm-hmm,
and the Internet. I know just as an example of that, we were traveling on a trip recently, and we were in Indiana. We stopped. We visited a congregation, and I met a young man there that he was leading their singing that day. He was very interested. You know, I could just tell he was very zealous. And talking to him about the academy, and the next thing I know, he's enrolled, and, you know, he takes the classes online from there. We also had a really good example of how this work will grow. The university congregation in Tyler, I had went there last fall and gave a presentation, you know, on this work to them. Their eldership saw a value in it. And next thing we know, they had set up a television in one of their classrooms, and their ladies' Bible class and several others were taking one of the classes online. Well, one of the ladies in that class became excited about it, told a friend of hers in New Jersey, and the next thing we know, we have a student in New Jersey. And so things like that will only, you know, continue to grow. And I think as long as, you know, we continue to teach the pure word of God and give all the glory to God, there's no limit to how far this can expand.
Well, it seems like there's not an issue with those who want to learn and those who want to grow. But a lot of the times, the reason maybe that we're not growing or learning like we would want to or like we would like to is because we need a little bit of direction. And this is a great opportunity to help give that direction and kind of give that that guided course of study where it's still on you to learn and grow. I mean, you could sign up to take the recordings, but unless you actually do something with it, you're not going to learn or grow. But like you mentioned, this is an opportunity for everybody, and it doesn't have to mean that you uproot yourself or your family and change everything about your job to begin to take the study. Now you can do like Bill and decide and determine, hey, I'm going to take all of these classes for credit. I'm going to, you know, fully devote myself to all that it has to offer. Or maybe I decide instead of doing this all in 2 years, I'm just going to take my time going through one or two classes a quarter. Take those for credit. Maybe I decide I'm just, you know, trying to do this for my own benefit. I don't need the credit to go with it or anything like that. But it gives that guided course of study that so many of us need to really help us learn and grow.
You know, one thing that impressed me about the Lamb's Academy was last semester I had no surgery. I missed 3 weeks of class. And, man, I was struggling. In my head, I was struggling, like, how am I going to get caught up? I even called Chris up a few times, and, like, Chris, pray for me, man. I don't know if I need to back off and go to just part-time student or what. And he just encouraged me, no, you're not going to do that. You know, we're not going to do that. We're going to work with you. The instructor's going to work with you. And they did. And I got caught up with everything. And all the instructors were real supportive on me getting caught up, and there was a lot of work I had to do to get caught up, but by the grace of God, I got caught up, and I made the grade. I made all my grades, I give all the glory to God, because He put that fire, you know, He put that fire under me and said, man, you're going to do that. And I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and prayed about it.
Hard work, you know, pays off.
And He gave me the, like I said, the fire to do that. Yeah. and to do the work that I needed to do. And it's been awesome. Now, this semester, I ain't got no excuse. So I've been staying caught up with everything, you know, and my outlines and everything. And it's just, you know, it's just been one blessing after another. And I can go into more detail later on.
Well, it goes to show, no matter the situation, that if your heart's set on it, right, you can do it.
Yep.
And I didn't fully submit to full-time ministry until I ended up at Blodgett Church of Christ. I was baptized in 2018 into the Church of Christ there in Linden, Texas. Billy Hunt, he preaches there at the Linden Church of Christ where my daddy preached for like 18, 19 years. And, you know, and then I got to be part of the ministry of leading, singing, and stuff like that. But I still didn't submit to full-time ministry, to fully following the will of God, until I ended up at Blodgett. And Larry Black took me under his wing, and it's just been one awesome thing after another. And to fully submit, and that just doesn't mean being at school or going to church, following God, or going. But when I'm at home, when I wake up in the morning, when I'm feeding my dogs or eating breakfast, you know, I'm thinking about the Lord. I'm thinking about what I need to do, and who can I witness to next, or who can I minister to next? I want to rephrase that. Who do I can minister to next? And that's fully submitting to the will of God. When you wake up and you read your Bible every day and you follow the will of God at each and every step you take in each and every day, that's fully submitting to the will of God. And, you know, and he's opened so many doors for me. And being able to be a part of the Lamb's Academy is just one big door to help further my knowledge in God's Word, and to be able to spread that to somebody else who might need it, you know. And that humbles me, that inspires me, that encourages me.
And that, you know, that goes back to the goal that Chris was talking about earlier, and even Preston mentioned, that, you know, providing men that knowledge, that foundation, you know, to have and to go out and to preach themselves and to teach and all of these things. You know, so now you're getting to see all the rewards of all that stuff going on in your life now. Right. And it's, you know, it's exciting. And, of course, we see your excitement in classes, so we appreciate that. And there's, you know, there's really everyone that I've been involved with as far as taking classes. They're wonderful in class. They're there to learn. But even also, you think about all the staff, and we briefly mentioned this, but those who are teaching, Chris, just to give people an understanding about kind of the areas that men are coming from. You know, some of these guys are driving a pretty good distance to come in and teach.
You know, we have several local here. We have some within an hour, but we've a great example. You know, to this point, every brother that I've spoken to about teaching that I went to has immediately jumped on board. I've only had one person turn me down, you know, due to their circumstances. And Brother J.J. Hendricks, he lives in Azle, Texas, which is close to 3 hours away. And, you know, he just immediately wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, he is our teacher for Exodus and the Minor Prophets. And, you know, he gets in his car and he drives 3 hours to come because he loves souls, and he wants to be a part of training others, you know. And you know, he's had tremendous experience, not only in as faculty and preaching schools, but also in administration of those. So, you know, that's just amazing. But you know, we've got brethren, you know, every quarter they're coming from, you know, they're driving 50, 60 miles to come. They want to teach that class. You know, they want to share the knowledge they've acquired with the next group that's going to take it to others. But I think a very important part of it is they see the need in the church, not just for preachers, but just spiritually, biblically literate individuals.
Well, Bill mentioned earlier about just that importance of being dedicated to it every single day, not just when you're at the church building, not just when you're there for classes. But that's really what it's all about, is to take whoever it is that's taking the classes, and for it not just to be something that's academic. I mean, yes, it's right. The Academy of Biblical Studies. There's obviously a education academic aspect to it. But if you don't know it, you can't live it.
Right.
And you can't live it if you don't know it. You've got to have both aspects there.
And my mindset is if you're going to preach the Word of God, you need to live the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's plain and simple, all in a nutshell.
We're very blessed to live here in East Texas. The church is strong. You know, we have an abundance of teachers, but in many parts of the country and around the world, that's not the case. You know, there are many Christians in places where the church is weak. There are very few congregations. They're marginal at that. But these individuals are dying for real Bible study, real growth, to be challenged. And this gives them an opportunity that's readily available and where they can even, like I said, be interacting with others in that class. And there's a hunger for that, I believe. And I think that's why we've steadily increased the number of states, you know, that we've been in. I know, let's see, right now we have students in Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, New Jersey, Kansas, Arizona. I mean, so it, you know, it's all over, and that's I think that shows the hunger that's out there, because let's face it, this is new and a lot of people don't know about it, so it's not like everybody in a given state knows the Lamb's Academy's here, you know. So
when it has the unique aspect of being able to do it all on Zoom or even by recording. You know, even going, say, like the preaching schools, Brown Trail, where Preston and I went, you know, there were times where we had to do Zoom, and that was something that was mandatory for all students for short periods of time, well, longer with Preston and his group because of COVID. But ideally, they want you in class, and you can't miss more than X amount of days, you know, of being in class, and you're going to have to retake. This has this opportunity, you know, for people all over the country to come in to listen to these classes on Zoom or even by recording. So it's kind of unique in comparison when you think about the preaching schools, which, of course, we discussed this is a little different, you know, than that. So it has some, you know, some positive things about it that you can't quite get in that setting, you know, even, like the preaching schools.
Even another aspect is there are those who, when it comes to supporting a school of preaching or students who go to a preaching school, that you can look at it in the sense of a mission work, because you support this individual, you support this school. Well, eventually the graduates are going to go out somewhere else, teach the gospel, who, you know, it's just this continual cycle there of you've supported someone, now they go and teach, and because of your help in supporting them, others are learning the gospel in these areas. Well, already through the academy, we're not just seeing this in a localized area, but like you're mentioning, you have folks in other states who are telling their friends there who are going to then tell their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So you can almost more immediately see the spread in the work that's taking place in the academy more immediately than you might be able to from some of these other works.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not an easy course, but it's not difficult to where it can be done. If you got to want to, you're going to be able to do it. It's not going to be difficult. I mean, there's some hard things about it, but if it was an easy course, then everybody could do it. And what makes it a little bit difficult is the fast pace that we go. But through these instructors that we have, man, they're real knowledgeable, and they can go through those scriptures and explain them to you. And you know, you got your notes, and they help us with the maps and everything. It gives us all the tools that we need. You know, and if you go home and study those the tools, the outlines that they give you, man, and it helps you with when you're reading your Bible too. So, you know, it's not an easy course. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
But it gets you started. Yeah, but it's like they told us in Brown Trail all the time that they're just giving us the basics, because there's no way you can go into every single detail. Mm-hmm. But
right.
You get enough to get started, to get going. Right. And then you have the foundation to be able to go back and fill it all in.
And I've had basic knowledge of the Bible because my dad has preached all my life. But we was Baptist back when I was growing up. We was Free Will Baptist. And then my dad started preaching Church of Christ back in 1984. And he'd been on to me a lot about you know, turning away, you know. And he says, man, you got to watch out what you're listening to. Watch out what they're preaching. And I really didn't fully understand that. I know back the first sermon I ever preached back in 1997 in that little Baptist church after I got out of jail, I preached on Romans 6:23. Had a whole sermon wrote up on, well, 15-minute sermon, let's put it that way. It was the first time I ever got up in front of a crowd. But never once did I mention baptism. You know, I did talk about the wages of sin and the gift of God, that unmerited favor that we don't deserve, and went into all that, and I told a little story. But never once did I mention baptism. And how can you teach salvation without teaching baptism? You know, and that's one thing that I learned, that, man, so I had to get rebaptized for the right reason, not just to show everybody, hey, I'm baptized. You know, I had to submit to what God's will was and to what Jesus did on that cross when he shed that blood for me. And he did that to wash me of my sins. So when I was baptized back in 2018, that's really sank in of why I was being baptized and not just being a show to everybody else, because it ain't about me, it's about Jesus. And we talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What does it take, Chris, for people to get involved in the Lamb's Academy?
We need, first and foremost, we need prayer. We need the prayers of the church for this work. You know, we truly operate on the principle that if something is a good work, God will provide. And so we need your prayers for the success of this work. We need people to take classes, to be a part. You know, think about when you were a kid and you were growing up. You had a Bible class teacher that stood out above all the others. They made it exciting. They made it fun. She was... You couldn't wait to get there. But you also had a Bible class teacher along the way that was not prepared, not overly interested. It was just something they had to do. It was their turn. And you didn't learn anything. Well, we need more of those first ones. You know, and so that's one of the things that we're doing. You know, not only is it men preaching, but like ladies teaching our children, you know, becoming better teachers. So taking the classes, that's so vital. And it doesn't really require anything because we do not charge tuition. So in getting involved, you sign up and take a class. And depending on where you're at in your situation, whether that be attending in person, by Zoom, or viewing the recordings, or a combination of those. You know, we have some people that they do it in a combination of the ways. But, you know, it does take money to operate. You know, we have an electric bill to pay every month. I tried to save money by not using the air conditioner. but, you know, a walkout was threatened if I didn't turn it on. So, you know, I do have to pay an electric bill. And we, you know, have other expenses involved. Right now we're about halfway in, as far as in what we have coming in to be able to operate the way that we would like to. We have about 50% of what we need coming in, so we need more individuals to consider individual or congregation to consider being involved in it by the supporting of the work. Maybe you're not taking classes, but you see the value and want to support the work. To be able to do that, our students, like I say, there is no tuition, but of course we accept, you know, the gift or donation of someone. Often when they take a class, you know, they'll ask me, well, what do I need to do? You know, I said, well, I said, we don't charge anything. If you feel like there's value and you want to give something, go ahead. And they might say, well, how much? And I just said, well, whatever makes you feel good, whether that's $25 or $200, you know. We need that. We need your prayers. But also, for this work, to word of mouth is the most effective thing. You know, we have a website. We have a Facebook page. But the word of mouth is the greatest thing. You know, I think about how in the first century church, how word would get to places. And then I think, wait a minute. They didn't have email. They couldn't right. even text. Wait a minute. I don't even think they delivered mail. So
you mean they didn't have podcasts back then?
There was no podcast. You may have had somebody with a voice like J.J. Hendricks that could be heard in the next town. But,
right.
you know, the word of mouth, that is the most effective tool of all.
And we will we'll be able to put in the notes with this specific episode here the link to the website, and we can put in an address for those who may be wanting to send in a donation. Or even, you know, just be able to have an email there as well of those who may have some more questions or may want to reach out, because you're willing to go, and there are some others who are willing to go as well to, you know, talk to elders of congregations or talk to yes. the men at congregations and be able to give some sort of a presentation about the work to a congregation as
right.
well.
All you have to do is reach out and contact us. Preston said that they would put that information up with the podcast, and we can come and give a presentation. Perhaps you're already a supporter. You'd like us to come give an update. You know, we can do that. We would be thrilled to do that. And, you know, I might even bring Bill with me. And, I'll turn him loose. So, you know, one of the greatest joys of this was not too long ago, Bill here preached his first sermon here a couple of months ago, and being able to go and to see him that night and to hear him deliver the gospel that evening, it just really cemented the value of this and the importance of it. And as we get a little further along into the program, we'll be able to start giving our students the opportunities to go out to speak. I look forward, there'll be upcoming classes dealing with sermon preparation and on preaching, the different types, topical, textual, expository. We want to help the brotherhood, and we can help that if we make stronger members of the Lord's church. Our preaching school, see, we don't consider ourselves a competition to the preaching schools. We consider ourselves a compliment to them. In some cases, their program is so intense, there's a student that's not ready for that. We can build that foundation. When our student graduates, they may desire to go on and further it, at one of the schools. And we are just so excited about what's happened so far, and we just covet your prayers as we continue to move along in this work. And I'm so thankful that brethren have responded to it, that we have those that are willing to come and to teach the courses. I know, Jared, you're teaching our course on Philippians and Colossians right now, and we'll be teaching a couple of more over the course of the 8 quarters that we do. I know Preston has 3 of our classes. He's going to be teaching our apologetics class later on. And so, you know, for some of our guys, it's that first opportunity to teach in an advanced scholarly type setting. Some are experienced, you know, and it's some of those teachers, it'll create more opportunities for their development themselves. So, again, just we invite anyone to come see us. Our classes meet once a week for 2 hours each, and we have five classes each week. And, again, you know, please contact me if this interests you. Contact us, you know, if it's something, again, you may have a ladies class or something like that that might, you know, as a group setting in your congregation. And one other thing I'll mention, you know, as younger people, we think of these as advanced, but we do accept applications from age 16 and up. We will take a 14 or 15-year-old with a letter of recommendation from an elder or preacher that they are mature enough for it. You know, in some of these cases, like with high schoolers, these classes work very well into your homeschool curriculum if you're a homeschooler. And I know we've had a couple that have done that. So contact us with any questions you have. We can't cover everything here within the time of a podcast, but we'll be happy to help you and visit with you any way that we can.
Well, we have definitely enjoyed the opportunity to discuss the Lamb's Academy and are grateful for that work. Of course, like you mentioned, Preston and I both are out there and trying to teach in some of those classes. So it gets us, you know, the opportunity, but also we've even taken some of the classes, right? So we're, you know, being able to benefit from it that way also. But, you know, I don't know that we actually ever stated it. It's there in Winnsboro. Winnsboro, Texas. So anybody here in the Northeast Texas area could easily drive over and take some of those classes. And then, of course, there's the other options with the online and recordings and things of that nature. So there's plenty of opportunity at the Lamb's Academy to study God's Word, to learn, to grow, and continue to spread the word about this good work throughout the Brotherhood, because it is a wonderful work that's going on there in Winnsboro, Texas. Well, I suppose we better kick off the shoes now that we can get back in our own shoes. We walked the half mile in theirs because I messed up and didn't ask early on. But we do have two questions before we get ready to close out. And this will be, I guess, y'all can just take turns answering one, and then we'll get to the next question. But the first question is, what is your favorite book of the Bible and why?
Job.
Job, okay.
And the reason why I picked Job, we David Westbrook taught the book of Job. And, you know, and I've, growing up, I've always heard the stories of Job. But I never read the book of Job and studied in depth what Job went through. And to have the faith of Job through all his adversity and to keep his focus and his eyes on God, no matter what his friends said to him, no matter what his wife said to him, you know, he kept his focus on and his faith in the Lord, and the Lord brought him through it, you know, and that inspires me. You know, I've had some physical problems myself. You know, they told me I wasn't going to be able to walk in 2016, but they didn't know Jesus for telling me that, you know, because I knew in my heart I was going to walk again, and I'm here today. And Job has really been a very inspiring book. Second is Philippians. After doing study on Philippians, it's just, that's an awesome book to study right there. But Job is my book, my favorite.
I would have to go with Joshua. It's always been my favorite, I guess.
I think I knew you were going to guess and say that one.
Because it was God's people at their finest hour. And
yeah.
We see the great things that happen when people give themselves to God. You know, in that time period, when you had a faithful leader, you had faithful people, so many great things were done. They weren't perfect, but when you take all of that in, and also it's just action-packed, too. You know, the action doesn't stop there, kind of like Mark in the New Testament. It's always been my favorite, Joshua.
Well, Bill, you gave us a little bit of insight into the second question earlier, but we'll maybe get a little more on it now. But who is your favorite person in the Bible with the exception of Jesus?
Paul. And, you know, I was in jail back in 1997. Oh, okay. I was in jail back in 97, looking at 10 years for the problem that I had, the crime that I committed. And these guys were reading the Bible in that jail over in the big group tank that we was in. And they said, yeah, come on over here and join us, you know. And I was kind of shying. Oh, man, I was shying away from them. I said, man, I was raised in church and all this. So there ain't nothing there for me. But the next thing I know, I was sitting there next to them. And they handed me this little bitty Bible and said, go in and read the book of James. Now, the book of James was a big influential book in my life. Because I read that book of James, and I cried and I prayed all night. And that was the start of my conversion. Yeah, it took me 21 years, you know, before I really submitted to the Lord and was baptized into Christ Church. But that was the start. And, you know, and I got up that next morning, I was smiling. All the jailers and all that, and the guys in the jailhouse was like, why are you smiling? I said, because I got Jesus in my heart. You know, and that's my thing. I was like, man, and when I got out, you know, I went to the church that my mama was going to and became part of a young ministers program and all that. But I didn't become a member to Christ Church until 2018. But Paul, the way, you know, his letters that he wrote to everybody and how he was a persecutor of Christians and how he changed his life and, you know, He didn't know what he needed to do, but the Lord told him to go into
Damascus.
Go into Damascus and seek out Ananias. And Ananias told him what he needed to do to be baptized. So, you know, I think about that like, man, I need to do that too. I need to be baptized. I want to preach God's word, but, you know, and I'm submitting to what the Lord wanted me to do, but I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins. And so, yeah, I can relate to Paul, and I love his letters that he writes, man, and they're inspiring, the love and the joy and rejoicing. Even though he was in them jail cells in shackles and stuff, man, he was doing what God had wanted him to do, no matter where he was at.
I'd have to go with Peter. Peter and I both suffer from the same disease. We put our foot in our mouth. You know, Peter was a man of ups and downs. His highs were high, but his lows were lows. But Peter had a good heart. And, you know, even in his failures, he always bounced back. I think, you know, how many men would bounce back after betraying the Lord three times? Judas certainly didn't.
Right.
From his failure. And also, you know, you think of Peter was dressed down by the Apostle Paul. Most of us would get angry, we'd bow up, but what did he do? He got back up. And, you know, I just think about him and Jesus, you know, when he went to Jesus on the water. We talk about what we think about his failure there, but who else walked on the water of a mortal man? So, you know, I just have always felt he was someone that as a man, you know, that I could look to. He overcomes the bad, and he rode with the good when it, you know, there. So definitely Peter, I think.
Well, both of those are great examples, you know, for us to learn by, and many things throughout their lives where we can easily relate, you know, in our Christianity today. I tell you what, it's been really good to talk about the Lamb's Academy. We're thankful for that work, and so glad that each of you came. We didn't even mention when we first started, but Chris and Bill left from the Lamb's Academy, and there were classes there this morning. They left from there and came here.
Be so, back up there again tonight.
That's right, and they'll be back tonight. So they made time in their schedule to come and to record this podcast with us. So we're grateful that y'all have been on here with us, and thankful for all those who are listening. And again, there will be information provided here with the podcast that you can at least look on the website or contact or, you know, reach out to the Lamb's Academy if you would like to be involved or would like to support it in any manner. It would be greatly appreciated. This is That You May Grow, and we hope that you continue to grow closer to God each and every day of your life.